This Bites, discussing Milwaukee's culinary and restaurant culture.
With Ann Christensen of Milwaukee Magazine and Tariq Moody of 88.9.
Welcome to This Bites, Milwaukee's longest culinary podcast with your food host, the wonderful, talented, the verbosis. Verbosis? I assume that's a word. Milwaukee Magazine's Ann Christensen, food writer and critic for the magazine. And I'm Tariq Moody from Radio Milwaukee. This week's This Bites, we don't have a huge lot to talk about, but we have some important things to talk about. Quality over quantity. We have news about a Vietnamese restaurant opening soon. We also have news about a dumpling Bauhaus that we overlooked somehow. And we're going to also talk about my trip to Madison where I got to taste the food of Mint Mark. But for you those who are under a rock and don't know that Top Chef premiered the other night. And you don't know that we have a Milwaukee chef competing in Top Chef. But not only that, we have Top Chef here in Wisconsin recording their show. And we're going to talk about the debut of the Top Chef. Well, at least Ann is, because I was out and about in the city. She watched the show. So we're going to have a little recap of the first episode of Top Chef in Wisconsin. So, Ann.
Yeah.
Your thoughts, your feelings, where you moved to see places you've been through in Milwaukee on this nationally recognized show.
It was something. It was moving in a way. It's a pretty slick production. I'm going to tell you that. Okay.
And expect nothing less.
What's that?
You expect nothing less.
Yes. So we know that it was filmed in Wisconsin last summer. So mm-hmm. That's when all this went down. So when you're watching it, it's like this, you know, beautiful summer weather, really, you know, balmy. Yeah. It just feels like, you know, like Wisconsin is captured in that very perfect time of the year. But yeah, it was really fun to watch. It was cool that we have a Wisconsin or a Milwaukee chef who's actually competing on the show. How much do you want me to reveal about this, Tariq? Because I
go all in. Let's do this first.
I know, but I'm afraid to share too much.
No, we'll do this.
Spoil it.
We're gonna do this. Uh-huh. We're gonna do this like all the other video people talk about movies and stuff. For those who are listening and haven't watched the show, we're going to spoilers territory. If you don't know what we're going to reveal, you can listen later to you after you watch it. That's your warning. If you continue listening, you're upset. That's on you.
We've got Dan Jacobs from Dan Dan and Esther Ev. He is the man. He is competing. He's one of these 15 chef contestants from all over the country. Really interesting group. Very diverse. Very cool. And we have the judges, Tom Colicchio, Gail Simmons. We've got Kristen Kish, who's the new host this year. Basically, what happened in this first episode is we get an introduction to all these new chefs, all the chef testants. So you find out a little bit about each one. The host and the judges seemed really excited to be in Milwaukee, and so did a lot of the chef testants. One thing I never really learn from this is like how they actually chose these people, the chef testants. Like, you know what I mean?
They draw names out of a hat.
It would be really interesting.
A chef's hat.
Yeah. Be interesting to find that out, but we didn't, not in the first episode, at least. Maybe we do further on. But basically every episode has some kind of competition. So all the chefs have to prepare a dish or more than one dish. And then at the end of the episode, someone gets eliminated, you know, has to go back home, gets voted off the island, basically. You know, we had that drama going on. And so there's this scene where all the chefs are given a challenge that they have to face. And so they had different teams. I guess teams isn't quite the right word, but different chefs were put in different categories. So like Dan was in this group of chefs who all had to prepare a soup. And then there were another bunch of chefs had to prepare something with chicken. And then the other ones had to prepare a fresh pasta. And then they took them over here to the Eastside Whole Foods, where they ran around the store and picked up ingredients. And literally, Tariq, there was a lot of running going on. There was definitely a lot of running. They're moving around. They're trying to get like this was something.
It's like Chopped.
It felt that way. It kind of felt that way. So they got all their ingredients, and then they, you know, you get little, like, you see them driving in a car, you know, the different contestants and talking about, oh, you know, we're in Milwaukee and we're driving around Milwaukee. At one point, all the chef testants are at Blue at the top of the Pfister having cocktails. That was kind of a fun little, you know, oh, you know, they were at Blue. But the big part of it was where they took these chefs to actually do the competition, where they held the competition.
On that note, we have to take a little break here, but we want to hear all about that. We also want to know how Dan did and talk about his soup and all the stuff what he made. Stick around. We'll be back on This Bites with the rest of the wrap-up of Top Chef in Wisconsin on This Bites.
I'm 88.9 Story Zori.
And I'm Milwaukee Films' Christopher Pollard.
And we are the hosts of Cinebuds.
Yeah, we are. And on Cinebuds, we talk about movies.
Flicks.
Moving pictures, they are referred to as also.
Talkies.
Talkies is good, yeah. And you can listen to us every week.
On Wednesdays at 8 a.m.
Or you can listen to the entire podcast at radiomilwaukee.org/podcast.
We're back on This Bites. And Tariq, Ann is about to reveal where they're about to cook this food part of this challenge for Top Chef. So Ann, continue.
Okay. So the place where they have this competition is the kitchen at Loopy and Iris. They bring all these chefs over there. And if you've been to Loopy and Iris, they have a beautiful
kitchen. They have two kitchens, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm not sure which one they were in, but they were in a really nice state-of-the-art looking kitchen. Mm. You know, you've got this panel of judges, and it's Tom Gale. You've got Kristen Kish. And then you've got Paul Bartolotta from the Bartolotta restaurants. And then you have Adam Siegel, who's the owner of Loopy and Iris. So they were the judges for this. So the chefs are all in the kitchen at one time, and they're all just trying, racing around because they have just only a certain amount of time to prepare whatever dish they're working on. And there's all this drama going on too, because you've got a chef who's like, oh my God, my chicken, it's not cooking in time. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough time, you know.
Have enough time herbs or enough time clock?
Time clock. Very funny. Very funny.
Anyway.
So Dan Jacobs was in the soup category. He had to prepare a soup. So his soup was like a Mediterranean inspired soup, but it had an Asian kind of flair going on. It had like maybe a tomato fennel broth or something like that. That was very well received by the judges. They really liked it. They liked the complexity of the dish and the different flavors that came out of it. Because one of the things that they were noticing with all of the dishes was, in some cases, there was just like too much going on, you know, with some of the dishes. But they really liked Dan's. So that was fun.
I wonder if he's going to put it on the menu. The dishes he cooks on Top Chef will go on the menu either at Dan Dan or after.
Maybe. That's interesting. I hadn't thought about that.
They might have a contract where they can't do that. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah.
I got a face for radio, so I have no idea how TV works.
it was really fun to see a Milwaukee restaurant kind of in the spotlight like that too. It was just really fun to watch. I think they do a good job showing it. They play up the drama. There's a lot of drama going on in the kitchen. And
so who was the biggest drama queen or king of that episode?
Well, it was the person who was eliminated. Yeah, they had the most drama. Not only did they, again, spoiler alert, not only did they just have like a really eccentric physical presence, they also had a very kind of goofy personality, and that person was really struggling in the kitchen too. Mm. They just, it seemed like they did not know what they were going to do, having a hard time to kind of deciding, and
probably the nerves got to them on the camera.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Because I mean, you know, all of these chefs are, you know, I mean,
top caliber, and they're really, that's why they're on the show. But I guess when you throw a camera in them and a time strength, some people don't know how to handle that.
Yeah.
Some people know how to ignore it, right? It's a tough thing being on TV.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Well, let's go back to Dan. You mentioned before we started this that Dan, talk about Dan's presence on the show and how did you feel he represented Milwaukee and Wisconsin?
I think he was really cool. You definitely got the sense of pride that he had being the only contestant from Wisconsin. He definitely pointed that out during at certain points during that first episode. You know, one of the things that I noticed about this was there was a lot of support. It seemed like they all were, it was a competition, but they didn't seem like anybody was trying to backstab anybody. You know,
well, that's good. I hope they don't do that. I mean, I know it's good for ratings, but we're talking about my favorite cooking reality show is Iron Chef because there's no drama. It's all about the cooking.
Yeah.
You know. So.
Well, I mean, there's drama, but the drama wasn't anybody pitted against another person. There wasn't that going on.
Not yet, you say.
Well, not yet. Who knows? Maybe that'll happen. So Dan just seemed really supportive of other people. And there also seemed to be this sense that maybe people were kind of developing a relationship with each other, like a friendship with each other and mutual respect. I saw that just on the cusp of developing, you know, like this sense of camaraderie.
Yeah, I get it.
That was nice to see. And, you know, you also saw some, what was interesting, because they definitely go to commercial breaks. So there were a lot of commercials for Wisconsin.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What was a commercial for Wisconsin that other people, you know, commercials are kind of geolocated.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm curious if you're in New York, did you see these Wisconsin commercials?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. But, you know, certainly here we do or did. But you got to see little snapshots of like what's coming up during the season. There were some interesting things. Like there was one scene where the judges were standing inside like it almost looked like a giant, like a hot tub, but it was full of cranberries. Like this was going to be one of the competitions. Like they had to incorporate Wisconsin cranberries maybe into whatever they were doing. Yes.
You know, they should do, which most people don't realize. What? Wisconsin is the biggest exporter of ginseng. I mean,
Chinese,
they should have do a ginseng episode because I think that'd be more unique that no one thinks about Wisconsin for.
That would be interesting.
Than cranberries. But, you know, they didn't consult us, Kristen Kirsch and Tom Caliglio, us about that because we know the stuff. We're the longest running culinary podcast and Kristen Kirsch just said, nah. We could have told them about the ginseng. That'd be a really good app. It'd be a unique challenge.
It's true. I totally agree with that. Yeah.
So fail on their part, Kristen Kirsch. I talked about that you avoided us, and you know I'm a celebrity just like you. And anyway, but yeah, cranberry. Wow.
But the main thing is that Dan has moved on. He's staying in the competition.
Yay! So
he was not eliminated. He is moving on to the next episode.
Good for him.
So that'll be cool. That'll be on next week. And, you know, it's a fun thing to be like, oh, for the next, you know, month at least, I'll be able to, you know, kind of follow this journey that they have. You know, so it's a fun time.
Did you see the debut party? Why weren't we invited to the debut party?
Oh, to the watch party? I was invited.
You were invited?
I didn't go
next because story.
I don't really go to events like that because, you know, there it's
yeah, okay. Okay. Let's talk about the next
I don't, I had nothing to do with being invited to it.
No so one
I
likes Tariq.
You were not invited.
No one likes Tariq. I get it.
That's you should right. have been invited.
That's all right. All right. Okay. That's enough talking about them. All right. Let's talk about, Laotian and Thai dishes coming to the Deer District, Anne.
Okay.
Apparently, there's a place called LP or local pub situated between Insomnia Cookies and Carson Steakhouse. Looks like they're partnering with Sticky Rice, which I actually had some Sticky Rice the other few days ago. The Sticky Rice on Brady Street. They moved out of River West. Shame on them. But they're partnering to bring some of their menu and items to the Deer District. So a unique opportunity for people hanging out, getting drunk, watching basketball, try some unique dishes. So the new concept, Tip Cow, was created in partnership with Brady Street Sticky Rice. It trades smash burgers for spring rolls, according to the article, and po' boys for papaya. To bring authentic yet approachable Southeastern Asian foods to downtown at 1137 Martin Luther King Jr. Drive. The menu most features finger foods with familiars such as fried pork spring rolls. Man, that's so good. Soy garlic wings and more traditional like jiao bong, which is the Lao sweet beef jerky, which I love. I mean, Alex Sap Sap makes an amazing beef jerky, by the way.
And Alex's food is just fire.
Fire. He needs a brick and mortar.
He had one.
Yeah, but he needs a brick and mortar here.
Yeah.
Here in River West. Another dish. They have a sticky rice sampler, and they have featuring Laotian staples. Where you grab the pinch of sticky rice, which I love sticky rice, man. I could just.
Oh, I do too. So I do too.
And you dip it into a selection of savory, spicy, umami loaded sauces, which I make one of them, which is like a sauce that's like fish sauce, lime juice, garlic, and Thai chilies. It's so good, man. It's like some people call it like a version. They call it crack sauce because it's just so.
You keep
eating it.
Is that jiao sam?
Yeah, jiao sam. Yes. Couldn't think of it at the time. Thank you. And then they have, you also have vegetable and Thai chicken samosa, brisket skewers with sour spicy jiao sum, and crab rangoon dip. So interesting. So they took the wrapper off and made it a dip in crab rangoon. It's a twist on the usual dumpling format. They even have marinated skirt steak. The papaya salad, which I do love so much.
Me and my partner,
Ray, we're talking about how much she loves papaya salad the other day. I love papaya salad, but Alex Sap Sap makes his papaya salad too spicy. Like, I'm eating spicy food, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to eat this papaya salad to cool my mouth off. Wrong.
Papaya you salad. Thought it was too spicy?
His papaya salad was on fire when I had it. It was when he did a pop-up at Iron Grate a few years ago.
Yeah.
I had a pie, like it was good, but they cool my mouth off, right? Like salad. But I'm
Sorry, I was, you know, this is an aside, but did you go to his pop-up at Amorphic? Didn't he do a pop-up there?
Amorphic.
His Uban?
Oh, yeah, I did. I did go there. Yes. Yes. I forgot. My memory is terrible. But yeah, it was good. Really good. Yeah, I did the Amorphic pop-up. They also have they have brunch items with a fusion twist. They have like avocado toast drizzled in chili crisp, sugar donuts with pandan coconut cream and berries, breakfast egg rolls, and other items.
Yum.
So this is going to happen at LP local pub in the Deer District. Again, that's
Are
11.
They doing it right now or is this still to come?
I didn't say. It seemed like it's debuted. Yeah, it debuted. Yeah, so it's now. Ah. They debuted the dishes last week.
Okay.
Yeah. Next, staying on the kind of Asian, Southeast Asian tip, there's a new Vietnamese restaurant that will open soon over on 4624 South 27th Street called Bao Bao Cuisine, slated to replace the Chancery Pub and Restaurant. Apparently it's approaching its opening date. Don't have the exact date in mind, but it's coming soon. So basically you can expect traditional Vietnamese cuisine like pho, with homemade broth, spring rolls, noodle dishes, banh mi's. I love me banh mi's.
Me too.
Zankia, man. Killing it.
Zankia is so good. Have you been, they did their remodel?
Yeah, I went there maybe last month for about 2 banh mi's. I always buy 2 because I'm like, I finish one, I'm like, damn it. So I buy 2. They have seafood and like, of course, boba teas, smoothies, beer, and wine. So be on the lookout for that. And finally, while we were Googling some information about Bao Bao Cuisine, we came across Dumpling Bao House, which looks like no one ever covered this when they opened, like in the beginning of the pandemic. We looked, no one even covered Dumpling Bao House because they're located in Tan Po Po Ramen Sushi Restaurant. There's some stories about Tan Po Po, and you talked about a lot of people are big fans of Tan Po Po Ramen.
Yeah.
Located in Hale's Corner at 5191 South 108th Street. So Dumpling Bao House has a very concentrated menu. I love small menus. I'm a big fan of small menus, right? And they have, their menu is very simple, but looks delicious. So Dumpling Bao House, I said before, located in Tan Po Po Ramen in Hale's Corner. The menu includes dumplings, noodle items, baos, savory baos, and sweet baos, and some sides as well. They have the dumpling varieties. There are chicken vegetable dumplings, shrimp and pork dumplings you get fried or steamed, beef vegetable dumplings, and vegetarian dumplings, and chicken dumplings, fried or steamed. Mm. That's it. Simple. I love menus because that means to me they're focused on making good stuff. That's what I mean. When I see a small menu, unlike Cheesecake Factory's Bible menu, which I still don't know how they do that, and it's consistent. We can have another story how consistent they are across the country, which is very interesting. They also have noodle dishes, beef curry noodle soup, or chicken ramen noodle soup. Let's get to the baos. They have 3 types of baos: barbecue pork baos, pork vegetable baos, and vegetarian baos. Each order comes with 3 baos. And then if you have a sweet tooth, I have never seen anyone do sweet baos in the city. Have you? Mostly savory baos.
But chicka bow wow, Tariq.
Yeah. that's what the ladies say about me when I walk. Chicka bow wow. They have taro sweet baos. I love me some taro. Red bean sweet baos. Custard sweet baos and black sesame baos. So if you have a sweet tooth, they have some sweet baos as well. Each of those come with 3 as well. Sides includes some sushi, I assume it's from Tan Po Po, pork bone broth. You can buy some pork bone broth, house made, or chicken broth to take home and make your own little stuff, which is kind of cool.
Uh-huh.
I like that. Like, I love to have someone else's broth than like me doll it up. So yeah, this is nice. I like it. They got also bubble tea and brown sugar tea as well. Some beverages as well. So this is inside in Tampa.
I'm going to tell you that the bubble tea, I don't love it.
Is it a tapioca thing?
No, I don't like that. It's just.
Is it too sweet for you? Is it like?
It's pretty sweet. Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
I think that's the purpose, right? You don't like sweet stuff.
I know, but I feel kind of like there's a lot of bubble tea now.
Yeah. You know. It's probably more like me because I'm a sweet stuff, but anyway. So that's happening. And then I want to close out. I went to Madison a few weeks ago and I got a chance to try Mint Mark, which you talked briefly about. And I have to say, that was probably one of my favorite dining experiences of the year so far. I mean, of course, it's like March. But Mint Mark, it was a great experience. It was packed. They don't do reservations. I got a seat at the bar.
I love the vibe in there too.
The vibe is great and the server is great. For being packed, I was attended to for being a packed spot. I was really impressed by that. But I just want to say my meal, I had like five things. I ordered five things on the menu. Like not appetizer. I ordered five entrees.
Seriously?
I ate most of it. Yeah, I ate most of them.
But you had your partner with you.
No, it was me.
It was just
you? She couldn't make it.
Oh my God.
I ate most of it. I ate like majority of, except the dish they mistakenly gave to me. I didn't eat that. So I basically ate everything I ordered.
Why didn't you eat the one they mistakenly gave to you?
It was a bunch of pasta. Like that's going to like kill the, I couldn't finish everything else.
Oh, okay.
Like,
okay.
No, I know what you're trying to do. No, I'm like, so what I had, I get into one of my favorite dishes. So I had this sweet potato dish, which if people make vegetables like that, I'll probably eat more vegetables. Let's put it that way. I'll get back.
Yeah.
I had the beef tartare. It was on a kind of a hash brown. It had like the hints of reminiscent of a Big Mac.
Mm.
The textures. Oh my God. One of the best beef tartare dishes I've ever had. Rockstar. Then I had the duck breasts and frites. Duck was perfectly cooked.
Okay.
I'll give a little grade down on the frites. I mean, they weren't bad, right? But like, of all the things I had, the frites were probably, could have been, I don't know, a little bit better, a little more crispy for my take.
Okay, sure.
But the highlight of my meal was the sweet potato dish.
Yeah.
I wanted the carrot dish. The sweet potatoes was, when you talk about the senses, the flavors, it included everything. Five, like bitter, sweet, sour, umami, all in one bite. It was, I don't think I have had a dish that perfectly balanced this all flavors in one bite. Texture wise, it was fabulous. They had these pistachios. I think it was pistachios with the crunch and the texture of the sweet potato. And then like they had these shallots, I think it was pickle, kind of pickled shallots. And they have a lime crema. Oh my God. And the combination, like every bite was just blew my mind of this dish.
Mm.
I wanted to get another one, but the sweet potato dish was amazing. They have a carrot dish.
Do you think you could try to recreate it at home?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure out how they prepare the sweet potato. Did they roast it? Did they boil it? There was a combination because the sweet potato was a different breed of sweet potato. It was slightly different in how it cut fork wise. You know how potatoes, when you bake it, they kind of, when you cut it, it kind of starts falling apart. You know, didn't do that. So I'm kind of curious if it's a breed of sweet potato or how they prep it. I don't know.
That is an interesting segue into the obsession I have right now with sweet potatoes. Because I,
really?
Whatever reason, this winter, I've really gotten into them and I've noticed more varieties available at Whole Foods specifically. And there's just different kinds of sweet potatoes.
Yeah. So maybe they had a different breed that doesn't, like, you know, you bake a traditional sweet potato, it acts like a regular potato, starchy, like crumbles.
Yeah. Yeah.
You put your fork to it. This one just put a fork, cut it through, straight through. Nice little piece. Yeah. It was texture wise, flavor wise, it was most perfect dish I ever had. Bite after bite after bite.
The most perfect dish you have ever had.
Yeah, I have to say, like, especially for a vegetarian dish, dude, rock star.
Huh.
The lime crema was every aspect, balance wise, sour. Ugh. They have a carrot dish that everybody kept ordering. I should have got the carrot because I was curious. Because everybody, like, I want the carrot
dish. Yeah, I'm looking at their menu and I see the carrot dish.
Like, everyone there was like, kept ordering the carrot dish.
Yeah.
And I was like, I should have got that too. But, you know.
Yeah. I don't know that I'm actually seeing that sweet potato on there. Oh, no, I do see it. Lime crema, chimichurri, hazelnut. Hot honey.
Hazelnut. That's what it was. A hazelnut. Because I said pistachio. Hazelnut.
Chimichurri. Honestly, I love chimichurri.
It was a different type of chimichurri, too. It was like, you know, when you hear the chimichurri like on steaks and stuff.
Yeah.
It didn't taste like that type of chimichurri.
Okay.
Like, everything, every aspect of it were a perfect match. It was like every bite. It was like every bite I took, it was just like, dude, I never had a perfect bite like that in a long
time. I don't know. Now you're making me think I got to drive to Madison. I got to go back to Mint Mark because, yeah.
Yeah,
I had a real nice time there the last time I was there.
And the cocktails
were amazing. Yeah.
Freaking amazing. They had a special one. I can't remember what it was. I probably slurped that down too fast. But it was really good.
Tariq, you stayed overnight, I hope.
Yeah, right? I stayed overnight. Yeah.
Okay.
No, I don't drive back like that. I'm too old to be doing that stuff anymore. I don't drive back to Chicago because I want to enjoy my time. Right.
Yeah.
So I just get a hotel. I mean, it's safer, it's better, it's cheaper than what it could ever happen, you know. So that's just me being wise and older. But yeah, I was impressed. Yeah. Anyway, well, that wraps up this week's edition of This Bites, the longest running culinary podcast, the best culinary podcast, Kristen Kish. Tom Colicchio, if that's really your name. This Bites is edited and produced by the wonderful Kim Shine that might have some experience with Top Chef here. I don't know how she did and we didn't. But anyway, big ups to Kim Shine. This Bites is supported by generosity from a membership. Please subscribe to This Bites wherever you get your podcasts or just whatever, RadioMilwaukee.org. And as always, Anne, stay hungry.
Keep the Malort cold.
Yeah, keep that Malort cold. I'm going to ship a bottle of Malort to the Top Chefs.
There you go. Show them. Show them, yeah.
I'm going to replace a label with like Pappy Van Winkle. Anyway, have a great weekend, Anne.
You too.